Good evening. My name is Logan Albright, and today I'd like to talk to you about the history of the mental health movement in America. It's a brutal and disturbing history, but it's one that I think deserves to be more well known so that we can better understand and appreciate modern psychiatry. The mental health movement in America largely begins with a man named Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a friend of Thomas Jefferson's. He was the first prominent American to declare that mental health issues were solely the province of physicians and that they should be treated in a medical and scientific fashion. Unfortunately, he tended to regard anyone who had an opinion different from his, of whom he disapproved, or who he just disliked, as being mentally ill. He thought that drinking alcohol to excess was an illness. He thought that opposing the American Revolution was a mental illness. And he even thought that some Americans who had excessive zeal for liberty were mentally ill. There was also a commonly known mental illness at the time called drapetomania, which was the illness which caused slaves to want to escape from their masters, because obviously only an insane person would want to do that. Benjamin Rush is spoken of very highly today by modern psychiatrists who regard him as a pioneer, the founder of American psychiatry, and they call him a gentle, kind, and merciful doctor. I don't think any of those terms are appropriate to use with him. Among his favorite treatments were fear, intimidation, darkness, solitude, and physical pain, because he regarded the mental patient as having to be put completely under the control of the doctor, both psychologically and physically. He was the proud inventor of a chair which would immobilize patients completely from head to toe. They would be able to move neither hand nor foot nor head for extended periods of time. He called this the tranquilizer. One European doctor was so enamored with its invention that he reportedly kept a patient in it for 6 months straight. He had another invention called the gyrator, on which a patient would be strapped to a plank of wood, which would then be rotated at high speeds to induce dizziness, nausea, and vomiting. He advocated immersing patients in water for extended periods of time until they nearly drowned in order to induce the terror of death, not dissimilar from today's waterboarding. He would use caustic chemicals to raise blisters on the skin, and he was a big fan of bleeding, which he thought would bring out the illness. He even imprisoned his own son in his mental hospital, John Rush, for 27 years until the son's death. Then, just as now, it was regarded as unethical for a doctor to treat a member of his own family. It's important not to dismiss Benjamin Rush as the product of a pre-scientific ignorant age, because he's been extremely influential and his influence is lasting on the profession. Rush died in 1813, but by the middle of the 19th century, masturbation, which he had regarded as a cause of mental illness, was routinely being punished by castration and the mutilation of female genitals. In the 20th century, we were introduced to insulin shock therapy, where doctors would purposely administer an overdose of insulin to induce a temporary coma. After that, we had electroshock therapy, and the inventor of that later expressed regret for what he had done, saying that when he saw the convulsions of the patients, he believed that it ought to be abolished. Of course, schizophrenic patients were often subject to lobotomy, by which part of their brain was forcibly removed through surgery. It's important to note that with most medical procedures, you suffer a complaint, you go to the doctor, you explain what's wrong, and you ask for their help. In this case, these patients were not asking for these treatments. The state granted the doctors power over them and allowed them to do pretty much whatever they wanted. Patients were not free to leave or discontinue treatment, and they had not asked for help. Until the middle of the 1970s, homosexuality was regarded not only as a mental illness, but also as a criminal offense. And until the early 90s, the admission of homosexuality was sufficient to deny one entry into the United States as an immigrant. It's only recently that these attitudes have begun to change. But although we no longer regard it as right to persecute homosexuals or masturbators, it's really only the victims that have changed. Today, most psychiatrists regard it as acceptable to intimidate, bully, imprison, and forcibly drug people who gamble to excess, who use drugs, who are depressed, who are anxious, who are compulsive, who are suicidal, and who hear voices the rest of us can't hear. Really, the history of psychiatry is the history of medicine trying to stamp out thoughts, feelings, and behaviors which are sufficiently different from the norm. And in that sense, the legacy of Benjamin Rush is very much intact. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Homeless History.